Clark County Veterans Advisory Board on Thursday afternoon, April the 12th, 2018, at 2 p.m. We're just a shade late, but that's okay. I was busy doing business for the advisory board. Please stand. The flag of our country is in place of honor. Salute. Join me in the pledge allegiance of the pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Meade, would you give us an invocation at this moment?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life that you've given to us. Now we ask that you help us to live it out. Be with us as we conduct the business of the Clark County Veterans Advisory Board. Give us the wisdom that we need to reach out and help the veterans within Clark County. So again, guide and direct us on the decisions that we need to make today. And we ask this through your son's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Mr. Secretary, would you take the roll call of the members by organization, please?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chair. Also, I want to remind all our board members and our members of the public in the audience today, we're not doing CCTV recording, so this is going to be open meeting, no mics, no nothing. So just wanted to let you all know. Okay, roll call of our representatives. 48, Steve Sledger.
Here.
Alternate, Patrick Lott.
Here.
American Legion Post 14, Dixie Hotelling.
Here.
American Legion Post 176, Michael Gibson.
Here.
Alternate, Jonathan Frank, Frederick.
Here.
American Veterans Post 6, John Lovejoy.
Here.
Michael Langsdorf.
Excused.
DAV Chapter 4, Board Chair, Morris Giesler.
Present.
Alternate, Frank Hyatt.
Here.
Korean War Veterans Chapter 321, Earl Edwards.
Here.
Alternate, Jason Atkins.
Here.
Marine Corps League 826, Ron Brandon.
Here.
Alternate, Steve Sledger.
Here.
VFW Post 4278, Shannon Roberts. Alternate, Sarah Apke. VFW Post 7824, Board Secretary, Bruce Moss here. Tanya Ward, excused. VFW Post 12028, Skip Benj.
Here.
Vietnam Veterans Chapter 512, Greg Witsit.
Excused.
Alternate, Nick Herber.
Here.
Members at large, Board Vice Chair Kelly Gones, she's excused. Kevin Lawson.
Here.
Alan Martinez.
Excused.
James Meade.
Here.
And David Daly is not here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen who are here in the gallery today, could you please state your name and what organization you're a part of? And we'll start with Sharon down at this end over here.
Sharon Tyre, Clark County Veterans Assistance Center. Judy Russell, Clark County Veterans Assistance Center.
Roger Morrison, Lindhaven Therapeutic Ready.
Ron Abbey, Clark County Veterans Assistance Center.
Jay Carstens, Community Services.
Lynn Mueller, Community Services, Clark County.
Yes.
Anybody else? More off to the right, please. My left.
I didn't catch your name. I listened again. Thank you.
Do we have anybody else? Okay.
Earl Edwards, Korean War veteran.
Yeah, we got you already, Earl. Okay. There'll be a sign-up sheet going around, so if you could please put your name on that sign-up sheet and tell us what organization you're with. So that way, Samantha can have the list, so when we do the meeting minutes, we can do that. If anybody wants to speak to the board at any given time, why don't you come up closer to here so that you can be picked up on our recording instruments, since we don't have CBTV with us now. That's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We are going to have a presentation this afternoon by Roger Morrison. He's going to talk to us about the therapeutic program that he has developed over the course of time, utilizing horses, which is a very, very thorough program for people with PTSD, with brain injury, or mental health. Horses have been used for a long time along these lines. So, Roger, it's all up to you, so you can have a good time here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it was Winston Churchill that said there's nothing better for the inside of a man or woman than the outside of a horse. One of my favorite quotes. Call your attention to the screen up here, and we have put this together, and we started in January of last year. For the council members at the table here, I gave you two handouts. One is a graph that's going to be up on the screen in a little bit for everybody to see. And the other is a letter that was not solicited at all from one of our Navy veterans that was heartfelt from her as to what the effects of this program have been. And by the way, I'll just make a note for the council members that the graph that you're going to see is based on the Veterans Administration self-assessment guide. That they're using. The statistics are not good as far as PTSD and TBI for our wounded warriors. We have quite a few in this county, as you know, and this is what they're saying to us. Thank you for the joy this program has brought back into my life. Veteran wife, Sid, the second one there. One unemployed veteran reduced her medication over 80%, was able to return to work. I have another one that I just didn't want to bore you with more slides, that is currently finishing up his education and will soon be entering the workforce as a computer draftsman. And one occurred this past Saturday that I just have to tell you about. We had canceled classes on Saturday for the storm that wasn't. Friday, we filled up 250 gallons of water in every container we could find in case the power went out. With 15 horses, they drink a lot of water over a two-day period. We always try and prepare for 2 days. And then we had a little bit of rain, we had a little bit of wind, but nothing like it was expected to be. And one of the folks that came in and hadn't gotten the message, didn't get the memo, he and his dad, his dad escorts him a great many places where he goes. Severe TBI case. He was the only survivor out of a Humvee with five folks in it that got hit with an IUD. This was over 10 years ago. And so I kind of put him to work grooming the two horses that have kind of chosen him. And he was humming to himself. This is very unusual for this particular individual. And in the course of grooming the horses, he cracked two jokes. Dad gets me off to the side after I get shivers thinking about this. Dad gets me off to the side after this whole event, and he says, I have no idea where that came from. It is totally unlike him behavior, because he's normally somewhat reserved and that type of thing. But anyhow, that was just one great little thing that happened on Saturday for somebody that wasn't supposed to be there but showed up. This is the value. This is the chart I was talking about. Anxiety, and this is based upon the actual veteran doing the assessment pre in the red and post in the blue. Pain doesn't show that much because it comes under the heading of no pain, no gain. We actually cause some folks more pain being in the saddle. So the change there is not as dramatic. Irritability is very, very significant. Fatigue, and then the energy level. I have folks that their wives tell me the only day of the week that they want to get out of bed is to come to the farm on Saturday morning. And that's what the energy level one shows there. We use a unique approach where the horse chooses the veteran, and it's been recently validated in a study that was done down at the University of Missouri under a military medicine grant where they use the same approach. They're getting the same kind of results that we are, so we actually have made a couple minor administrative changes so that we can participate with them as a resource center in their next study, which will be coming up. But with the issue of pre and post, the traumatic brain injury is probably the hardest one to treat because of the actual damage to the brain. In the PTSD, it's almost easier in that regard because we're just simply forming new pathways in the brain for the functions to work. And all this stuff has been verified with MRI scans and all that type of thing. You can see some help, some happy guys here. Any Marines here? One on the right's a Marine. Army on the left. The relationship is, first of all, with the horse. Young lady there, totally unable even to touch a horse. She has a 24/7 assistant to help her move around, transport her, meds, that type of thing. I had taken our little mini, then I put our veteran's hand on mine, and she had never in her life touched a horse. At that point, she was on like 20 meds. We started stroking the horse, and pretty soon I got my hand out from underneath hers, and it was like an electric shock went through her. First time in her life she had touched a horse. And she's now graduated to a full-size horse. And she's walking, not sitting in a chair. Many of our folks, when they first come to us, can't literally stand up for more than 15, 20 minutes at a time. The Marine that you saw on there, that was his case when he first came to us. Here a couple weeks ago, he threw a saddle over his shoulder and walked out and put it on the horse. But he used to have to sit down every 15 minutes or so to take a rest. What we do is we start out with the relationship building down in the lower left-hand corner. Horse chooses the veteran. We do a lot of groundwork. We take and have the horse eventually ends up in what we call freestyle or liberty, where they're walking through cones and everything else, and the veteran isn't even touching the horse. The horse's head should be right here, and everywhere that veteran goes, the horse follows. Stop. One, two. Horse stops. Walk on, and so on. And then we start teaching them how to send the horse through the patterns with hand signals. The horses are well trained, so they can do this, but they're not going to do it unless they're told what to do. They do take orders. But it's a cooperative type thing. Then we move from the groundwork into the rhythmic riding. And it's very, very difficult for a lot of these folks to actually be able to get up into the saddle. Just the physical nature of standing on the block and getting that leg up over top of the saddle is a major accomplishment. And we'll start initially with leading them around. Eventually, they take hold of the reins. We're still leading. And eventually they end up taking the reins totally. And then we go on to the trail ride. I'm happy to announce today that yesterday I deposited the check. Furstenberg Foundation has been following us now for a year and a half. Yesterday we deposited a check from the Furstenberg Foundation for $13,800 and it's restricted money from our terms, in that it's strictly for training my horse leaders and furthering their ability to work with veterans. We started out doing it all as group work. Now we're pretty much down to one-on-one. And we we still have to cover all our other expenses for feed and vet and all that kind of thing out of other areas. But we're very thankful to the Furstenberg Foundation for that support. Take a second and read that. What we literally do is build new pathways in the brain for them to, first of all, relate to the horse, and then eventually over two or three sessions, us being eight classes, that transfers into human relationships and family relationships. Pretty much all my folks have had these kind of, either some or all, of these problems as a result of the PTSD. Particularly the second one up from the bottom, trouble concentrating. I can't tell you how many times I've shown some folks how to tie a horse. And there's a way of doing it so that the horse doesn't get hurt if they get scared or something. Relationship, movement, the trust that they develop between the horse and themselves ultimately transfers into trusting humans again. And right now, anybody wants to come out and help us groom, I probably have 10 pounds of mud on each horse, given the amount of weather we had here. I mean, a huge amount of mud right now. We're starting pretty soon here, and you're going to hear this in a minute. Sam, is the volume up on this?
I'm not sure.
If you check, because it's coming up here in just a second. This is the young lady that was sitting in the chair with the little mini up in the left-hand corner. She's now graduated to Shadow, which is a full-size quarter horse. And she has to have some assistance, still can't stand for long periods of time. My young fellow on the right that cracked some jokes for the first time in a long time. Young lady on the left. One of the things that we're working towards is some of our veterans will eventually become volunteers. We will have taken them from being recluses to actually going out and helping other folks. And then the one fellow on the right here has developed such a relationship, if he could put that horse in his truck and take home, he would. She's the same quarter horse that's up in the upper left-hand corner. Shadow is a cow horse. She's extremely quick, but when he's on her, she is the most gentle animal you could ever think of. That's Shammy and one of my vets. This fellow is actually from Hillsborough area. About a third of our veterans are from outside Clark County, over on the Oregon side of the river. He's just now learning to get Shammy. You notice he's not touching her. And the hand commands are getting better. And she now walks exactly where she's supposed to. I take Shammy on a walk quarter mile out to one field and back, and I never even touch her. There goes, I think that is Shadow. And they're walking the cones. In the beginning, they have to touch the reins because it's more the veteran not being sure of what the horse is going to do. The horse knows what they're doing. This is called head to heart, and you're developing that relationship. She's not touching Shammy at all. Shammy's saying, "Okay, what's my cue?" A lot of times it's spacing and where you're at in order to get them to do what you want them to do. Okay. And then, well, good old Diesel, he's the one that we've shown over at the Clark County Horse Expo a couple years. He loves to jump barrels just for fun. Shadow down on the right-hand side. She's looking at that tarp like she's never seen one before. Shadow is well-trained enough that I can literally go out and put the tarp on top of her, totally closing everything off and walk away, and she's not going to move. But she's playing the game. written by one of our veterans. We do a lot of obstacle riding, either over or through or around, developing fine muscle control on the hands. That rider is one of my has developed into a good friend. He's full-blooded Cherokee Indian. Some of those trees we were going through were only 3 feet wide. Space between them. Judy's husband. So this is we're almost done. This is what makes us different. The focus on the relationship with the horse, and it is based on the latest science of how brain heals. There's other programs out there, CHA, Certified Horsemen of America. There's PATH International, Professional Association of Therapeutic Riding, and we don't take anything away from those folks. Except that this is a program by veterans, for veterans. It's not oriented towards kids. And the mindset of my trainers and my horse leaders is we're taking care of warriors. And you don't have to have been on the front line to be considered a warrior. If you were serving, you put your name on the dotted line. We've given over 5,000 hours of time and care this last year. This was 2017. Over $15,000 donated by the volunteers themselves to support the program, and they traveled 35,000 miles to be able to bring it to the point now where we are.
Fantastic.
So that's pretty much it, and I want to thank the chairman for the letter of support that we just got today. That will come in very, very handy as we continue our grant writing process, and again, thanks to the Furstenberg Foundation for their generous grant that we just received. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. Very, very good program that you've got going there. I've been associated with somewhat with the mental health people and that. As I ran the Independent Living Center here in Vancouver, I had several people that had that particular issue, and they used to have some of the people out at the fairgrounds that had horses out there, and we'd take the patients out there, and they would really appreciate the fact that they had some opportunity to be around those horses. So, you know, this is something that we've got for our veterans, and we need to get some of our younger veterans that have gone through the sandbox, because that's where a lot of the brain injury has come from. About 25% of all those coming back from the sandbox have some type of brain injury. So this is a very good program, Roger, and I really appreciate you taking the time and the effort and putting this thing together for us. And I'm hoping that we get a lot more veterans coming out there.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah, I'll get to that. I want to get this out of the way first. And so we'll move on. At this time, we need to approve the March 8th, 2018 minutes from our meeting of that day. But I would entertain a motion not to read those minutes.
I second it. We have a motion and a second.
Any discussion? Any corrections? These minutes were all mailed out to the primaries and the alternates of the board. So if there's any additions or corrections, now's the time to come forward. If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, contrary, sign. Motion carried. Oh, it brings us to that particular point where we have committee reports. Looking around for the chair. Oh, there he is, sitting over here in the corner. Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Would you give us a report on your appeals committee?
Well, looks like we had 7 appeals this last month. 2 were approved, and 5 were denied. And a lot of those, well, most of them that were denied was because they were over income.
Okay. Anything else from your committee?
That's it for now.
Okay, very good. Thank you kindly for that report. And we will move then to the policies and procedures. Miss Dixie, would you give us your report on today's meeting?
We had a policies and procedures meeting prior to this meeting this morning, and we came up with 2 changes that we would like you to consider. One is 3.11.4. Now, 3 points are under different housings and different utility assistance and things like that. And here's our suggestion. We'd like to add 3.11.4 as communication, providing assistance of up to $200 in a 12-month period when the circumstances require it. This concerns telephones. There's a lot of veterans that will not come in and go down and get a telephone from the VA or anyone else. And these are the people that need it for emergencies. These are the people that have doctor's appointments, or maybe their parole officer needs to see them a couple of times a month, so they go to jail. So we've been considering this for your approval, and that would be under 3.11.4. That's it's replacing that eye care. If you've got your notes with you, we omitted that a long time ago. Again, providing assistance up to $200 in a 12-month period when the circumstances require it. We are not just giving out a phone, we're not just giving out money, but in certain circumstances it could be vital. Any discussion on this one?
Yeah, just a question, Dixie. Now, there's 2 types of ways to get telephone service. One is with cellular telephones, and the other one is through plain old landline service through the phone company. The phone company landline service does have it set up to where they do give out discounts to certain people based upon disabilities or other circumstances, low income. I don't know what the cell phone industry does on that end, but I'm aware that the landline industry has that.
They really are looking into the lowest costs that we can come up with. You know, we talked about the Obama phone, we talked about the different types. So it's not like they're going to go out and get a brand new phone.
Okay.
Or anything like that. Some of us, I mean, I got 5 cell phones in my, you know, I've upgraded so many times.
Okay.
So, you know, we can get phones. But this is This is the discretion of the assistance center if the need arises, and it has arisen a couple of times.
Okay. I just want to let board members know about how that program has existed, because state landline has it pretty well written down, but cell phone providers is a little different.
They do. I know YWCA gives out emergency phones, but this is, we need to put this in to our program if we're going to allow it. So that's why we're mentioning this to everybody here. And so anyway, can I make a motion that we accept this? I'm making a motion that we accept 3.11.4 to present to the county councilors before the next month, or within the next month.
We have a second for that motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, contrary sign. Motion passed.
Okay, we have one other thing that we discussed, and it would be under the appeals process, 5.1. And we would like to insert something in that process. Presently it reads, filing an appeal. The Veterans Advisory Board is responsible for hearing any appeal or dispute of county services officers' decisions. The service officer shall determine if each application is in compliance with the Clark County Code and policies and procedures for the Veterans Assistance Fund. Now, right there, we would like to insert, appeals to county code will not be considered, period, and in parentheses, veteran status, comma, residential, and income. And then it finishes off, any appeals or disputes of the CSO's decision must be made within 15 business days of the decision. Appeals shall not be made in writing, include all supporting documentation and mail to it, and then it goes on with the address. The reason we put that in is that we need to stay within the county code. So it's really moot if somebody comes in with an appeal and they keep hammering it over and over, because the county code is what we have to go by. Yes, Mike?
I would just like to add, one of the appeals we had this last month was person was $1 over in their income level. Now, if we would have approved that, that funding would fall back on the assistance fund, and they wouldn't be reimbursed by the county for that funding. So,
and we did discuss this at great length. It's a shame that when a person is just $1. But where do you draw the line? Do you draw it at 1, 12, 15, 20? They'll always be pushing the envelope there for that extra dollar. So we have to stay within the county code. And that's why we put that in.
And if you all recall, this very issue came up a few years back, and that's why we increased some of the thresholds on the 150% to 100%.
So anyway, that's what I'm putting out to you. Any more discussion? Well, I'm going to make the motion that we insert this to protect our service officers and our program.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We do have a second. Any other full discussion on this topic? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary sign. Motion passed.
So I just wanted to mention that we've had several changes from the policy committee over time. I think this is our last one, so I'm going to draft all of the changes into the one document for the board's full review and approval at the next month's meeting, and then it will go to the county council. I didn't want to piecemeal it to the county council. But I feel like, and I think that from the Policies and Procedures Committee, that's done for the year, and so we can now get it fully approved, and all of the changes will go into effect at once.
And we will have one more Policies and Procedures meeting next month, 12:30 here, before this meeting, And then we will adjourn over the summer, and if we need to, we will be called on any urgency matters to come together. So that's kind of my plan. If anybody objects, let me know. I plan to pick the summer off.
Very good job, Dixie. I appreciate you taking on the chair position for that Policies and Procedures Committee, which is most important because of the changes that happen from time to time because of social society. We talked about, you know, there's no telephones on the street corners anymore that you could put a nickel in. Oh, that changed to a quarter, didn't it? Now it's probably 50 cents. But nevertheless, that's how long ago we had those phones out there where veterans could, in fact, dial up and get a response. But that's no longer there. Okay. So we had to look at the communications aspect and what's the best way of doing it. And that's, we had quite a discussion here at the meeting today. Moving on. Oh my goodness, I missed one particular item. I did miss one. Something about a new council for the homeless contract. We did talk about that, and we did have a committee meeting, I think, at some... Oh, that was at a pizza parlor somewhere around this wonderful county. And it was good pizza, too, I want to tell you. I was there. But nevertheless, that meeting went very well, and we got a lot of information out of it. And then the next thing I heard and read in the newspaper, and I do read the newspaper from time to time, I've got probably 100 articles here with me now, but the housing committee is going to get some additional funding so they can, in fact, help some of our veterans who need a little extra help to be able to handle the affordable housing program that we find ourselves in 2017, 2018, because of the economy coming back. Because when it was a recession, no one was worrying about housing at that particular time. But now, what's the average cost of a brand new house? You're looking at well over $300,000. If you're looking at renting a place, an apartment, what's the cost of a one-bedroom apartment these days? Is that right? $1,200.
That's the fair market value for one bedroom.
One bedroom.
$1,200.
How about a two bedroom?
It's something like $1,475 or something like that. It's
okay, we got the point across. We got the point across. Some of our folks haven't had an increase in Social Security that are homeless. Some of our folks don't have an income coming in. So actually, what we have to do here is we have to look for some of these government programs to support. And that's what came out of that meeting that we had. And I think we were there for, what, an hour and a half?
At least.
And two pieces of pizza at least. But nevertheless, we also probably had a cup of coffee or two. Do you have anything to add to that, Samantha, that you have?
I don't think so. This contract was drafted based on the Council for the Homeless discussion. They were also there meeting with our homeless ad hoc committee. So I'm happy to take any questions if people have had a chance to review the work plan. And I'm also happy to give credit. Those are our contract staff that do all this work for us. So
yeah, that's very good. That's very good. We do appreciate them. Okay. Is there any questions? Any?
Definitely got questions.
Yes.
On page 4 of 8, in the middle where it says 4.3, so unless waived by the county in writing, the contractor shall provide the county with a year-end report. And I'm kind of wondering why, I mean, that's good, got to have a year-end report. But shouldn't there be a report each month, or at least every 2 months to keep this? And then another part of it, when you turn over to page five, I don't see any requirement or any provision for actual veteran data, like who's the veteran, what branch, what's the purpose, et cetera, et cetera. So we'd have accountability. That's the biggest issue I have about this whole thing, is that the money is going to veterans that are homeless, not anybody else. Follow what I'm saying?
I can definitely add monthly reports, and we can compile any information that, and you guys can also see the billing backup that what we're paying for. As far as branch of service and that kind of thing, I think it would be a report similar to what Judy provides, and I don't think they collect the branch of service necessarily, but we do. They will have to keep all of the veterans' documentation, the discharge status on file, and meet the same requirements that the assistance center meets, and I will monitor.
Wouldn't that be like a natural part of it? A data, I mean, it would identify the guy a little better if it served in the Air Force, served in the Army, served in the Navy, instead of just kind of ambiguous, well, he served in the military. That's a big organization. I mean, where in the military? It's a little bit more precise.
If that's something that the board would like to see, then I'd be happy to ask them to collect that as well.
I'm not recommending it. I'm just bringing it up to discuss. You know, to me, the accountability part's what's really important. You know,
but actually, I think as we sit here at the advisory board, which is entitled Clark County Veterans Advisory Board, the term veterans. And I don't care what branch of the service, we are all veterans. That's what we have in common. Whether it be Air Force, where I spent 22 years, or whether it be Army, where my brother spent a number of years, or whether it be the Corps, where I had another brother that spent a number of years, or the Navy, where I had a brother there that also served a number of years. I think we've sometimes missed the boat when we try to penetrate a branch of service. They're all equal. They are veterans. Once you get that DD Form 214 presently, and in World War II, you got a letter of discharge rather than a DD Form 214. So, we still end up as those veterans. And I'm going to go back to Earl, because Earl has taken the honor flight back to Washington, D.C. Now, did they single out any one particular individual?
Month on the honor flight from Clark County.
Good.
The
And I caught what you were saying there about Korean War veterans. And we had Second World War veterans prior to that, and now we actually have some Vietnam War veterans, and I'm quite sure that in the very near future we're going to have some Sandbox veterans going there also. You all understand when I say use the term Sandbox, what I'm talking about? This was would be Afghanistan, it would be Iraq, it would be over there in that particular area. I guess I've used that as a, I don't know, I've always used that term sandbox because I went through there one time and all I ever saw was sand. But nevertheless. Okay. Anything else? Anything else?
So
Judy.
I have a question.
Yes.
So the Council for the Homeless will be under the same reporting restrictions that we are as far as residency, income, and status.
Correct. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I think
and that's
what
the draft says, isn't it?
Yeah. They'll have the same reporting requirements as we do
okay.
as far as those three things are concerned.
That's good.
In other words, that 70,000 stays with the veterans, not just anywhere they want to put it.
Yeah.
No, this isn't just for any homelessness. It's specifically with the veterans assistance. It's coming out of our veterans fund, and it's specifically for veterans.
Yeah, that was the next thing that she pointed out to me on the cover page of this document. It says, total contract amount, $70,000. And I asked the question, where is that coming from? And she was very nicely to inform me that it's coming out of our funds. Well, $70,000 is not an awful lot compared to what we've got coming in. But it's going to help the Housing Authority and those kind of people. And we appreciate the fact that some of our veterans will not be homeless anymore. They'll have the opportunity at least to apply. And
I got one more.
Yes, go ahead.
Morris, is there any kind of a process to follow up on these guys? You know, once a guy is helped and he gets funds put up, and he's get into a housing, well, how about, is there monitoring? Is there kind of some kind of record on how he's progressing? If he's back homeless in 3 months?
Yeah, so on page 4, under program reporting, the 4.1 talks about the Homeless Management Information System, which is a database where everybody and the details of what services they receive is input. And then under program goals, number 5, the number of households that do not enter the homeless system again within 6 months of assistance is 100% of the people that they serve. So that's if the Council for the Homeless serves them and gets them into housing and they end up homeless and go to SHARE, the Council for the Homeless might not know that, but SHARE is also going to enter that person into HMIS, and then it's going to track back to the services they received.
That's
so that HMIS system follows somebody throughout their life through every single provider in Clark County. So that's kind of how we'll track that.
You still have an input in that system?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes, we input all the homeless veterans into the HMIS, and every time they come into the center for a service, we input that. Every time we get a new veteran that's homeless, we input his or her information. So yes, we use that system as well, and you can go in that system and see who's been serviced, which veterans have been serviced by which organization, and what they have provided them.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
so are we gonna get a report like the Vet Center does a monthly report on all the staff? Are we gonna do the same thing, or like every 2 months, or how's that gonna work?
You know, because they're entering this and they're required to enter the HMIS data no later than 14 days after the veteran is enrolled, and then enter all the data for the previous month on the 5th of each month, I'll just pull that report down from HMIS and provide that monthly.
Good.
Yeah.
So that's good.
We're going to have it. We're going to have that information.
Accountability.
Well, yeah, and this board needs to have that kind of accountability. That's why we get the report that we get from the assistance center, because we have a relationship there with them. And there have been times that a lot of the information that they provide me. I don't necessarily look at it from that standpoint. What I'm interested in is how many veterans we are serving and what are their status. Are they hungry? Do they have a job? Or do they need some help to get a job? That's what I look at. And I go through this every time Sam sends it to me. And so she well knows that for all these years I've been chair and part of this board, I've gone through all the reports that she's provided out there with a fine-tooth comb. I still do that. But some of the issues I don't make an issue out of. Okay, is there any other comments for this, the Council for the Homeless, and the meeting that we had, which I was very appreciative of having all these representatives come to that meeting, because it did make a big difference. And unfortunately, a couple of the people is not here today. I wish they were, but because they actually had some notes and one thing or another, and I thought Sam was taking all the notes, and Sam thought I was taking all the notes, and neither one of us took notes. But we got the paperwork here, and that's the important part. Okay. There's no need for any type of a motion for this one, because it's pretty much already taken care of?
No, we haven't executed it because we were waiting for this board's approval, review and approval.
Oh, is that right? See, I have to count on her all the time to keep me straight. All right. So, do I have a motion to...
I have a question.
Okay.
First of all, we just got this... At the last meeting, this thing came into being. Our Marine Corps League meets once a month, just like this, and it happens to be tonight. None of the guys in the Marine Corps League have even looked at this, so I think it's only fair that they have a chance to go over this and look at it and make some comments. And I mean, don't you think so? Master Guns.
Well, that would probably hold true with all of the branches.
Yeah, everybody here. I don't know if everybody here's read it. Everybody in, you know, I know the VBA's not familiar with all of this. Greg's not here today.
Yeah. And I missed the last meeting, so I don't know.
I'm not into passing bills and then read them to find out what's in them. We've heard that.
I sent it out 2 weeks ago with a notice for this meeting, so I wish I could have sent it out earlier, but I always send out everything for the meeting 2 weeks prior. So that must not jive with everybody's monthly meetings.
No, that's the problem with our organization. We don't meet until the same night as this. So there's no way to talk to everybody. I can't even reach. I've reached about three guys total.
Yeah. Same
about this. So
yeah,
is it possible to put it off tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to go to my assistant here, and how about that?
Well, all I will say is that the chair of the county council asked us what we were doing for homeless veterans in January or February, and we can keep pushing it down the road if we need time to review, but I was hoping to get it executed and started helping the homeless veterans as soon as possible. I don't want to cram it through without anybody's chance to read it, but.
Well, what's everybody think about it? I mean, I think everybody should have something kind of say about it. Should we wait 1 month or do it now, or?
If we have a motion and a second of that motion, then we can discuss it as to what we want to do with it. So what I'm saying here is the fact that if we want to table it, then we have to have a motion to table it.
Then we go a whole month.
Well, that depends. That depends on how we vote. So, I'm open for that motion.
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
What are we motioning here?
Okay, to table the decision as to whether we're going to support this document that we have talked about here today. And I want to come back to that very discussion. James?
I would like to say, Ron, that when these things come in, since Samantha gets it to us a couple weeks early, if you have email lists of your members, that you get that out to them and ask for a reply and let them know that on this date, which would be the meeting following when she sends them out, that there's going to be a vote on it. Mm-hmm. That's a suggestion anyway.
The problem with that is the Marine Corps League Board, the business meeting is once a month, it's tonight. Mm-hmm. They don't vote on anything and they don't do any business until that business meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not going to do me any good. Like I said, I notified a couple guys, but if I go telling everybody and ask for a vote over the thing, it's not going to happen. Not until there is a quorum of officers and we have an official business meeting and boom, go from there. We just can't do something willy-nilly. We have to do it by the book, in our organization anyway.
I can appreciate that. However, they did appoint you as primary. So the decision is still yours, regardless of how they feel.
Can I put me on the spot or something?
No. They trusted you to make the proper decision for this board.
I like to defer to my secondary over there, Master Guns. What do you think, Steve?
I'm going to kind of go along with the fact that we're here representing our branch or our organization. And I think they put their faith in us to make a competent decision for them. So for me, I would say vote on it. I would go for it right here. And if we've got a problem, we can always rectify as we go along. If there's major objections to what is written in here and how we're going to operate that particular function, then that can be taken care of. But we're assigned to take care of that for the group. So I think we should vote on it.
Okay. All right. That solves that problem.
Okay.
I'm all for this. Okay, personally, me, speaking for Ron, I say this is a good deal. Go for it. $70,000 is a good start to get our homeless veterans off the streets. It's a hand out, not a hand. I mean, it's a hand up, not a hand out.
There you go.
That is common sense.
Is there any other consideration here at this time for discussion?
Have they determined how much this is going to cost per year once this gets going?
So this is just
and where this funding's going to come from.
So this is just like I'm calling it kind of like a pilot project, and then we will evaluate it in December. If you want to renew a contract, you can choose to do that. If you are done with the program, or we have no more homeless vets, we're done with the program. Any future funding would be through the Veterans Fund, and it would be at the advice of this board. It's not a renew. I'll renew.
So we will have that opportunity.
The rest of this year.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
It ends.
Time is of the essence to use this money or lose this money, right?
For the council, it is not for us.
No, for the council, yeah. And this is something that the council has brought to us. And I think it's appropriate that the Council for the Homeless is also been briefed on this whole concept, and the chair asked Samantha and myself back, was that January or February?
Yeah, it was
January, wasn't it? What are we going to do? Talking about our advisory board. And we're here to advise the council which way to go. What are we supposed to do? When it comes to the veterans' assistance. We have this money since the legislation has said that we are going to kick it up a little bit because we used to get less than 1%, and I think right now we're pretty close to 1%, are we not?
It's 1/8 of a cent per $1,000 assessed.
Ah, well, that's pretty close, pretty close. But I can remember back when we were there at 6 percent of it, actually a percentage of it.
Mr. Chair, yes. I have no problem reporting that this organization voted on this issue today and approved it and moved this thing forward. So
okay.
I think we should just move ahead and vote on it, get it through. After all, January, February, here we're April, now we're talking May. It's like, nah, let's get it passed.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
More so than the motion that I made.
Yes, go ahead.
Which was to, I want to retract that motion.
I was going to ask you to do it anyhow.
Yeah, well, I retract it.
Yes.
Will this figure be deducted from this?
Yes,
it will.
So we'll just see a deduction of 70?
It'll be the same way as the assistance center, where you'll see the monthly deductions for the invoices not to exceed
and then,
70.
And then leftover will stay in the fund?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the fund is looking very good right now.
Yeah.
I went through it and that type of thing.
You do have a very strong termination clauses in here for the protection, so yes.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Okay, so then I redo a motion and I make a motion, we accept it.
Okay,
second.
That's good. We got a second, very good. Any other discussion? Hear none? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the contrary sign? Motion passed, so we can take it to the board.
Okay.
To the council.
It'll just be executed.
It will be. All right, good. All right.
Contractor.
All right, where are we at here? Where are we at? We caught up with everything, I believe. It's almost time for Samantha to give us a report on what happened in February.
Yes. And one last thing I want to just mention really quick, Ron, about the contract is this is not concrete. If there's something that we see, something that we don't like as we go forward, or if your board has a great suggestion that this board wants to modify the contract, that can be done at any time.
Good.
Okay, the February Assistance Center funding report, they saw 31 veterans in February. I didn't get the grand total printed out on the report. I'm sorry for that, but it was $13,719.81. So that includes 10 veteran households that were assisted with rent for $7,693, 7 that were assisted with utilities for $1,377, 13 households assisted with food for $1,525, 5 households assisted with transportation at a cost of $190, 6 veterans helped for work-related assistance, $1,668, 1 veteran helped with auto repair for $1,000, and other housing assistance was provided to 1 veteran for $264. And there were 6 denials in February, and Mike already covered the appeals. The overall assistance center report shows that they had a total of 517 visits to the center in February, and that includes 319 visits that were from homeless veterans. They had a total volunteer hours of 765 hours, which is worth $18,479 if they were paying all of those people. And they have their visits to the center chart that you can kind of see. It's a nice way to see the flow of visits over time. The dental program saw 7 veterans in February. 2 received multiple appointments. They paid for one, or we paid for one contracted dentist to provide care for 3 of the veterans who received a total of 4 extractions. And then they had 4 volunteer dentists who provided care for 5 veterans, which included 5 extractions and 6 fillings. The total value of care that they provided in February was $4,215, and they billed us and the fund $1,540 for all of that care. And you can see the fund balance report on the final page. Our fund balance is at $405,927, and we should probably be receiving about that much again in April.
Yes.
When property taxes are due.
Yes.
Are there any questions? I just kind of flew through that to try to catch us up a little bit on our meeting time, but I'm happy to take any questions. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. I see that we came in for the January and February at $26,000, which is pretty good for those 2 months. Usually they're not nearly that much. April will be another big one, the same as October was. They're already looking at the $405,000 of, so maybe that $70,000 won't hurt us too much. And I'm quite sure that the assistance center is going to be as economical as they possibly can over there, as far as the paper clips, pen and pencils, and those kinds of things. So we're still looking to rehouse them in a space a little bit larger. I haven't had a chance to get with the mayor yet, but there's a possibility. And I hope that the center would enjoy moving to a space a lot larger. Anyway, I'm going to turn the gavel over to the secretary, because I've got to get out of here. I'm almost 10 minutes behind, where from time to time I have to run off to do other things, because I've got other organizations that I'm involved with. So, Mr. Secretary, would you take the gavel?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll do that.
I want to thank everyone for being here today and that. And keep up the good work. I'll see you all next month.
Thank you. Okay.
First, we'll get together.
Yes.
Okay.
Have a great day.
All right. All right. All right, the next agenda item on our agenda is the Veterans Assistance Report from Judy. And would you please enlighten us with what's been going on down at your place? And
yeah, I'm going to come up here if you want.
Come up here so me and Sam can get our recorders and get well heard.
Okay. So coming up on May 18th is our gala, and several of the organizations around this table and individuals around this table have purchased tickets or tables. Thank you for that. And the rest of you, get on the ball. We need to sell more tickets. So May 18th at the Heathman at 5:30, we'll have a silent auction and a live auction, and it'll be a great time. Our speaker is our new mayor, and so we'll have a good time there, and we will support our veterans with the proceeds like we do every year. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. It helps us help the center take care of the veterans. We do have today gala tickets. We have raffle tickets for the rifle, the Henry rifle that we're raffling off August 25th. We have our Veterans Assistance Center jackets. Sharon, can you show them one of the jackets? We have some with us in case anybody wants one. Dixie bought one earlier, so did Jim, and so did
Steve,
sorry. So this is what they look like. They say Clark County Veterans Assistance Center. And we aren't making a lot of profit on them, but the profit that we do make goes back into the center to help the veterans.
How much is it? 25.
25. Good news, our website has been redone, and it is live, and it is fabulous. The new webmaster helped us get it up and running. We still have a couple more tweaks, but you can go on there now, the ccvac.net,
and look at the website, and it is impressive.
Say that again.
CCVAC.net. Yeah, it stands for Clark County Veterans Assistance Center.net. So we didn't want to make you spell it all the way out.
Thank you.
Of course.
We'd have never made
it. It's an impressive website, and Sharon was responsible for that, for working with the webmaster. There's still a few more tweaks, but it's got everything. It's got all of our events. It's got links to all of the veterans organizations. And if you want your veterans organization linked up to our website, call Sharon and let her know, because that's something that we can do now. We finally have control of our own website. Yesterday we had board of directors elections. I'm honored to say that I'm going to be the president for one more term at the CCBAC. Today we brought our vice president, Ron Abbey. Ron. Our treasurer is Donna Settles, and our new secretary is Lori Pugh. And Lori, most of you have not met her yet, but you will. She's a little dynamite go-getter. So the last thing that I want to talk about is, in this last month, I have heard some negative things about the center. There was a couple of individuals that have sent around some emails saying very negative things about the center, that the leadership doesn't know what they're doing, that the volunteers are unqualified. And I just want to say to this board that there is no more qualified volunteers than the people we have at the center. They work their tails off every day, 5 days, sometimes 6 and 7 days a week for the veterans and for the veterans' causes. This person noted that we were enabling the veterans because we feed them and because we allow them to rest in our lounge. That is what we're there for. Our board of directors has discussed this. We determined as a board that that is one of the things that we wanted to allow the veterans to do, was to be there and to be able to rest, to even take a nap if they want to. We want to be able to feed them if we have donations to give them. Why wouldn't we? They're living on the street. Anything that we can do for them, we need to do. So once a week, we have PIC come in and help them job search. Once a month, we have Clearview Employment come in and help them with job search. We are doing everything possible as a center to help the veterans in every way we can. So if any of you hear any kind of bad rumor or talk about the center, please let us know. If there's things that we can do better, of course we want to do everything better. But I hate hearing negative things about the center and its volunteers when they're all busting their butts. It just irritates the crap out of me. So I'm sorry if I'm really passionate about it, but it's wrong. So if anyone hears any negativity about the center, and you'll speak up for us, I would appreciate that. And if there's anything we can do to make it better, please let us know. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Anybody have any more questions for Judy? Hearing none, we will proceed down to old business. I'm looking at the meeting minutes from the last time, and we had Veterans Village was talked about briefly, Sam. We had the event for the Vietnam veterans out of Vancouver Mall back on Saturday the 7th. Council for the Homeless, and we just covered about the space that the Veterans Assistance Center needs prior to what's being put out for the new homeless center out on Grand Boulevard. Any other comments?
I will say that I emailed Bob Stevens, the County General Services Manager, about any county buildings that might be available, and I haven't heard back from him yet.
Okay. All right. Hearing no more old business, we'll go down to new business. Does anybody have any new business before the board? Well, I do have one set of a new business, and I'm just going to just briefly touch upon it and stuff. And Samantha and I, and is the one who has more information on this than I do. As you notice, we're not doing CBTV telecasting at this point in time. The reasons behind it are basically budgeting between CBTV and the county, and it's costing about an average of $5,000 a year to do the telecasting because CBTV has interns in their program that they do the productions for any type of public meetings that are done, and those groups have to be paid somehow, and CBTV has to have it set up in a budget for them in order to do these meetings and community events out in the community. So CBTV had to adjust their budget for the year, and then the county manager had to adjust the budget because we were not appropriated to be authorized to continue for the rest of the year for the CBTV coverage. And Sam, do you have anything extra that you might want to add to that?
No, I asked CBTV if this board wanted to continue it, if the Veterans Fund could cover it, but our director said if we started doing that, the county would never pick it up again. So she said it might be best to ask again at the beginning of next year when they do the next budget process.
Okay.
And unless that's something that you guys feel really strongly about and want me to research further.
I think it might be a good idea if we just research it further, because the way CBTV is set up, they have to have funding coming from somewhere mm-hmm. in order to provide that stuff, because they don't have an open checkbook to do everything. They have to do a lot of planning, and there's some meetings that they do all the time, like the counselors in the city of Vancouver. But since we're kind of lower on the priority, that's kind of how they have it set up. Now, hopefully, they'll still continue in the community events, like next Thursday's high school students going to the military. We've got Memorial Day coming up, and then Veterans Day, and then 9/11. So I don't know how that's funded by, but the folks with CMAC are usually the ones who do in charge of that type of programming for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. And if we have to do a formal motion on continuing with CBTV, I think it's important that it goes in front of the board first, and then that way we make sure that where the money's being spent for CBTV from this board, we need to make sure where it's coming from and everybody's approved by it, because the last couple of years we've just kind of let it go through the county and we've just let it go on autopilot. But I think it's important that it comes before this board so that they know that the extra $5,000 over whatever for the production cost is noted. It should be important. Anybody got any other new business?
No, I would like to remark on that, and I was talking to Morris about it. Even being new here, I've had a lot of people, and I'm saying a lot of veterans, say, hey, I saw you on TV. Well, what does that tell me? They're watching that program.
Yeah.
And Morris said the same thing. He said, I'm always running into people that are saying, hey, I saw you on TV. I watched that program. And I think that our veterans that are out in the community, because they don't have a voice to tell the county, it's going to have to tell it through us. So if people address you and say, hey, I saw you on TV and I watch it a lot, we need to gather that information to let the county know.
Yeah, and like I said, I've talked to Jim Denman. I've talked to him on occasions about how great getting veteran communication out via CBTV has been really helpful, both these meetings and the community events that are done as well. And I've also been talking with the Telecommunications Commission about our program and what it does. The gentleman who's the chair of that board is also a fellow veteran as well. That's Paul. Paul, I forget his last name, but Paul is a fellow veteran who chairs that telecommunications board. They meet on a quarterly basis. So, yeah, it's something that I can pick up the ball and run with and get some more information about what we can do to get back on CBTV again, and also our veterans program. So, but yeah, we are really the only communication link to help veterans out there is what it really comes down to. But I know it's gonna cost, but you know, we have to take a look at everything first and making sure it can be done again.
Yeah, I think.
Anybody ever discussed like splitting it? Like we have county government?
I'm gonna defer that to Sam.
Yeah, there hasn't been any discussion. I was kind of surprised that CBTV just let me know they aren't going to be there at the April meeting or any other meetings. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know what I hadn't been given any prior idea that was going to happen. We could certainly write a letter to the county council and request that maybe, like you just said, this is the one way that veterans in the community are able to hear what's going on, and this is an important piece that the county should be getting out as part of their budget to the community. Maybe if there's a letter from the board, maybe there was just an oversight that this somehow didn't get added on, and that would, there's lots of things we could do, or we could ask them if we could split 50-50 through the fund and then and their communications fund.
We'll just put that out there for everybody to think about. It's not a rush item that needs to get done. It's something we can think about, we can plan out. Also, Sam, I think it would be a good idea that the county councilors, along with CBTV and the Telecommunications Commission, we should also info ID all three of those entities so that to let them know that how important the veterans outreach and publicity and communications is for the community. Mm-hmm. That's my thinking.
Bruce, as you being secretary, why don't you draft up a letter regarding that? You seem to know quite a bit about the CCTV.
Yes, I do.
Draft up a letter and bring it before the board.
Okay.
And see what we can do.
Yeah, the Telecom Commission's next meeting is in June, and then they'll have probably another one in December. Those are their next two meetings that they'll have.
That'll be the time to.
Yeah. And I'll talk with Paul Dicker about it too as well. That's all I have. Do we have any more further new business before the board? One last thing. Golden Corral in Vancouver is now open. They will be doing veteran stuff. Me and Frank Hyatt with the DAD chapter went to their restaurant last month and presented them with a plaque to welcome them here into Vancouver. At some point when the restaurant starts settling down, they'll start probably doing a something for Veterans Day for veterans. So we'll stay tuned and watch that as that comes about. Anything else? Okay, before we adjourn, let's get to open forum so we can get out of here. Does anybody have anything for open forum?
One thing real quick.
Go ahead, Ron.
VBA, Vietnam Veterans of America. They are conducting a fundraiser car wash June 9th. It's on a Saturday, all day. I understand the Young Marines are going to help out with that. So pass the word if you want to participate. VBA supports a lot of programs. Matter of fact, we just bought a table at the Assistance Center for the gala.
Yep.
Just a real quick, during between 65 and 75, there were about 12 million men served in the military and women. Of that, only 2.6 million actually served in country in Vietnam. We are down to well below one third of those numbers still living. The Vietnam veterans are going away. I don't know how many Vietnam vets we got here right now, but how many Vietnam vets are there here right now? About seven, six. So we're in the we're the chosen few. We're survivors. So yeah, quick, come to our car wash and support the VBA before it goes away.
Is that going to be there at the post then, the car wash?
No, actually, that car wash is going to be conducted at Hazeldale Car Wash on Highway 99. Jim Taylor owns that. We will not wash a car. All we're going to do is stand out there, wave signs and flags, and try to recruit people to come in there. And we will get $3 per car that gets washed. And they do about 400 cars a day on Saturday on a good day. So you can do the math. Plus, we have a couple of uniformed guys inside with a bucket donation, collect a hat thing, you know. So people want to donate to support our Vietnam veterans.
And that's June
9th. It's on a Saturday. It's a weekend just prior to Father's Day weekend, I believe. I think Father's Day is the 18th or 19th.
Yeah. All right.
Any other questions about that?
One more thing. Out of Post 176, the first Thursday of every month, between noon and 2 o'clock, a truck comes in and they give away free dog and cat food and treats. So if you know any veterans with service animals, have them go there and get some free doggy treats, cat treats, toys, dog food, cat food, free. My cousin went there this last week and got up to $1,000 worth of food.
And that's the first Thursday between 12 and 2.
Post 176 out at Salmon Creek. It's right across the street from the Albertsons.
Now, is that for service dogs or anybody?
Anybody.
And what day?
The first Thursday, of every month.
From noon
to 2.
Noon to 2.
12 to 1400.
Got it.
Right. Does anybody have anything else? Roger, do you have anything else for our open forum?
Yes, for American Poor Vision, VFWs, I'll bring my horse and pony show out and do a program for you. If you'll have me on your program, I would love the opportunity.
Okay, that'd be great.
I have your card.
Good shot. Okay, and lastly, before we close the meeting, me and James Meek will be attending the USS Portland Commissioning next Saturday down over in Portland. It's a Navy event, so if you see a big old ship coming into Portland sometime by Saturday and throughout the rest of the week, that's what it's there for. We look forward to having the crew here and stuff.
And if any of the Marines that are here are homesick, this is a Marine Corps transport ship run by the Navy.
Yes, Gator Freighters. All right. Hearing no more for the board, I'd like to have a motion to close the meeting.
Oh, yes.
I make a motion.
You want to second it? Second it? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We're adjourned until May 10th. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.